trail. When you wear old dresses, the sun comes shining through.
Yes, you are listening to A Woman's Perspective. Shake, rattle, and roll. Every day, this is the tune to get up to. And it's most appropriate today. We have with us a star in the swing dance movement in New York. And it's not just swing dance. She has so much to tell us about an organization that has brought me personally and thousands of New Yorkers such joy. And she did it really all on a volunteer basis. Margaret, you're going to tell us a lot about yourself. Margaret Batichuk. She is in the Swing Dance Hall of Fame. She's president and founder of the New York Swing Dance Society and is a Harvest Moon Ball champion. And there's a Margaret teaches in New York. She's our main woman, and she can tell us the history of swing all the way back into the 30s and 40s, because she made a master's thesis, which has subsequently not only been accompanied by video, but sold internationally right up to today. That was at NYU in the dance department, correct, Margaret?
Right.
Margaret, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Virginia.
It's so good that you're here. I think we've tried and tried, but this is a very busy woman, and now we have been successful. Margaret, how did first let me give you a tiny little bit of bio here. You were kind of swinging between pre-med way back and dance, and you chose dance. What did you do for that? You took a master's or a BA in it?
Well, my history is going back and forth. My father was a doctor. He was a heart and lung surgeon in New York, and I was going to follow in his footsteps, but he was also a great dancer. And so I followed in his footsteps in a different way by following his footsteps literally.
Great, yeah.
Following him dancing was so delightful. I started out pre-med at Mount Holyoke. Then I went to, I ended up going to CalArts and getting my BFA in modern dance and choreography. And then I moved back to New York and went back to pre-med at NYU. Mm-hmm. And I was doing well, but then I started dancing at this club called City Limits because it was on the way from my apartment on 20th Street to NYU downtown. And I just fell in love with the partner dancing again. And so after that, I started teaching country western. I won the Harvest Moon Ball with George Lloyd in 1983 in Lindy, and I did. And then I founded the New York Swing Dance Society with a group of 10 people, because there was no place to dance swing downtown. So, in any event, to make a long story short, I then switched back from pre-med to dance, and I got my master's in dance from NYU for writing up what I was involved in the swing dance world. So I did my master's thesis on the Lindy, including history, and four DVDs. They were videos, and I've made them into DVDs about my different dance partners at the time. And the whole thesis was about what I had experienced in the joys of dancing, and some things are about it on my website, which is dancemb.com. DanceMB stands for Dance Margaret Batichuk. You can also think of it as standing for movement and ballroom.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to just stop you for a second, because it's such an important juncture in so many women's lives, let alone men's lives, that which path am I going to take? And we're in a society that says, by the time you enter college, you should know what you want to be doing 10 years hence and start preparing now. Specialize, specialize, specialize. I am a huge proponent of don't specialize, don't make the decision, let it flow, go with the passion. And I see your struggle, certainly, for between the science, not unrelated, after all, pre-med and anatomy and motion and the living human soul. But you did go for what you really loved, and it seems like you also chose that arduous thesis writing process as an opportunity to delve even deeper into a passion. And you have enlightened all of us with a beautiful history of the swing movement, both visually and in written material. You said you had a lot of dance partners. Who were the well-known swing dancers as you were coming up through that?
Well, the ones that I focus on my DVDs, which are available for purchase, in fact, people from all over the country, the world have heard of these and are, you know, interested in seeing them. The ones on those DVDs are Frankie Manning. At the time I did them, he was in his, I think, his 70s, and now he's in his 90s.
And he's still dancing.
And he's still dancing, although he is a little bit set back now because he had, he broke his hip. But they do plan on celebrating his 95th birthday next year. So,
wow. I mean, if you want to live, you better dance. I'm
telling
you.
He's been traveling the world dancing.
Wow.
And then the second person was George Lloyd, who was 10 years younger. And George Lloyd was also a Savoy ballroom dancer, African-American. And George is the person who I won the Harvest Moon Ball with. And we met at City Limits, actually, dancing.
And the Savoy Ballroom was in Harlem. And
in
that
Harlem.
Was a huge center of
that
swing
was,
for
right.
years and years, long before it moved down into white man country, so to speak. Huh?
And the style of dancing at the Savoy changed over the years. George's style was very smooth and elegant. And unfortunately, he passed away. So a lot of young people now are really into seeing George. And unfortunately, I didn't get him at his peak. He wasn't that interested in being videoed, but I did get some really good footage of the smoothness of his style mm-hmm. and how amazing he was. When I first saw him, I couldn't believe it. He was like butter.
Wow.
I saw this man dance and I'd never seen anything like it before. And we became partners right after dancing the first time and won the Harvest Moon Ball 6 months later.
Mm.
And so we just kind of clicked. And the other person is Charlie Mead. And Charlie Mead, I still dance with. Oh, just, well, I dance now also with Sonny Allen, who is a great Savoy dancer. And he won the Harvest Moon Ball representing the Savoy in the 50s, whereas George and I won it in the 80s. But Sonny's style is similar to George because he was at the same era at the Savoy as mm-hmm. George Lloyd. And the other person on the videos is Charlie Mead. And Charlie Mead is a, he started out as a primitive and tap dancer. So he would perform in Buddy Bradley's groups in London.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, he has his own style. And the fourth person is Tom Lewis, who also has his own style. He was my student, so he was in his 30s. Charlie was in his 50s and 60s and 70s. So I tried to get a span of the people I was dancing with who are my favorite partners, but they also had totally different styles, which is what I really love mm-hmm. about swing dancing is everybody can develop their own styling. And mm-hmm. that's what I tried to present, the love of dancing with someone and getting a different feeling than you get from anyone else because mm-hmm. everyone's an individual. And each of them is really, you know, it's a wonderful feeling dancing with them.
Now, a lot of that, a lot of this comes out of the Afro-American dance tradition and right through Africa, through the Caribbean movement, through Southern step tap dancing. But here we have this amalgam called swing dancing. But I think that's predominantly an Afro-American. And most of the partners you're talking about are, except for the one, younger
Tom,
one,
right.
Tom. And I'm always interested in how people raised in a more middle-class Caucasian society, how they learn I don't see a lot of success there because it's so enculturated, so deeply, profoundly taught, even to children. The music is a part of the household. Movement is all promoted, allowed, encouraged. Let's hear a little excerpt from some hot music that I and Margaret have danced to.
Love to get you on a slow boat to China, all to myself, all alone. Get you and keep you in my arms forevermore. Leave all your lovers weeping on the far away. Out on the prairie with that moon big and shining.
Margaret, tell us what we are listening to. It's so smooth, so beautiful.
It's a slow boat to China. And it's a song that you can do like a smooth, easy Lindy to,
mm-hmm,
or West Coast swing.
Oh.
So it gives you some options. And swing and Lindy are not always fast. You can slow it down and be smooth or sexy or elegant,
mm-hmm,
as well as really fast driving music. So
you said West Coast. What is West Coast swing?
West Coast swing is a swing that developed on the West Coast in the 40s. Dean Collins moved to California and brought West Coast swing, brought Lindy to the West Coast, and there are a lot of theories about how it developed into a slot pattern. It's the same rhythm patterns as swing, but it's done in a slot. And some people said it was because the ballrooms were very crowded and people wanted to have more room. So if everyone danced on the same slot, instead of swinging out anywhere, you only swung out into a slot pattern, that there was more room for everybody to dance together. Another version was that they were doing performances and they wanted everyone in the same line. So they, mm-hmm, wanted to all go in the same direction. But whatever it is, it's a beautiful dance. I actually have been doing it almost as long as I've been doing Lindy. And
It's pretty different, though, in terms of Lindy, isn't it? I mean, when you're teaching it, are you you're dealing with the same count for those of you who are interested in the count?
Yes, it's the same count.
It's the same count. But
six
why
counts
is that?
And eight counts.
Six counts and eight counts. And why does it look so different from a Lindy, other than the body posture is held a little? You're in what you call a slot. The dancers have to keep returning the couple that's dancing into a kind of path where they're facing each other or facing away, but as if they're between two railroad tracks. Is that the main difference, you would say?
The main difference, and the feeling, you know, the feeling of the music. A lot of the music that people are dancing West Coast swing to varies as time goes on. It used to be more blues, and it's still danced to blues. Now it's done to smooth swing. It's also done to beach music, in where they do shag.
Hmm.
And they also do a contemporary music, so the styling changes. When I was starting out with my dancing in the 80s, I traveled around the whole country, and I was one of the only people that was going around the country to all the different dance events and seeing all the different styles. In South Carolina, they had shag. In Texas, they had push and whip. In Dallas and Houston, and in California, they had West Coast swing in all the western states. And I would go and travel, and I was known as the ambassador from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the first person to bring the West Coast teachers to New York to our dance weekends. And people just loved it because they didn't see it. And
yes,
it was so different at that time. Now, everybody's traveling. People that do shag are competing in West Coast swing competitions, and the styles have all gotten blended in a whole, mm-hmm, lot more in the last 10 to 15 years. So it's interesting. There are still differences as each dance develops, but a lot of people, you know, have brought one thing into the next, and,
mm-hmm,
and the dances have been kind of blending.
Who are the stars in the West Coast swing? Certainly John Festa, who we've had on this program in New York, who's the very favorite DJ of all time for West Coast blues. And we love his more classic approach to the blues, and he can sure fill a space.
Mario Robo.
Yes, Mario Robo.
From Texas. And
there's another.
Charlotte Bott.
Charlotte Bott, yeah.
Let's see.
But regardless, these are all people who, yeah, it's a lot. And you can tune into really through any of the ballroom schools. We're going to give more specific information about your classes as we move on. But the whole ballroom movement, although it's called ballroom and we think Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, has opened up to all age groups at this point. I see people going 90 miles an hour to really hot big band music at your parties, the Swing Dance Society, as well as people in their 80s and 90s who are out there moving and grooving to these fast, brilliant beats. And there are so many big bands now playing. And that was all a dead issue.
That's right.
Yes,
when we founded the Swing Dance Society, my friends and I used to dance at City Limits, and then City Limits closed. It was like the Joni Mitchell song. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
Yeah.
So they closed it down to put up a parking lot. And so we were going up to a club in Harlem called Small's Paradise, and Al Cobb's band was playing up there. And we decided that maybe we should run a dance downtown, and that's how the New York Swing Dance Society was founded. And we got Al Cobb's band to play, and we were every other Sunday at the Cat Club.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've heard of the Cat Club in conjunction with swing, that's the New York Swing Dance Society dance.
That's and where I entered, actually, at the Cat Club in the 80s, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is like an incredible, that was an incredible time. Mm-hmm. I have footage of that on the fourth a DVD that I have, mm-hmm. where you see like Dawn Hampton coming for the first time, and all the old timers. You'll see Al Ligans, who was in his 80s then. He's since passed away, but his style preceded Frankie's style. It was more like a 20s style, early 30s. So it's fun to see all different ages. We attract all cultures, all races, all ages, and it's open to everybody, and it's really fun.
And
everyone enjoys it, and they enjoy seeing other people too. And even in my lessons, in my classes, it's really fun to see people come who don't know how to dance, and it's such a joy to see them like exposed to feeling themselves dance for the first time, mm-hmm. and not having known it before. Discovering like the 6-count pattern, the 8-count pattern, and the joy on their faces, or doing like a foxtrot. I mean, nightclub two-step is another beautiful dance that I teach that not many people know, but it's so flowing, and it's really to see people see it for the first time, and even people who do it, I just love it. Myself.
Yeah. Well, it's community, it's bonding, it's introducing a new art form, a new way for people to express. And this is no easy matter, organizing all this. Let's break a little for some more of the sound that Margaret Batichuk has brought with her to sort of tell us what the essence of the dance is. It's in the music. And we're going to enjoy now another piece from our DJ, Ryan, at A Woman's Perspective.
Cared about love? No, I'm not the guy who cared about fortunes and such. Never cared much. Oh, look at me now. I never knew the technique of kissing. I never knew the thrill I could get from your touch. Never knew much. Oh, look at me now. I'm a new man, better than a Casanova at his best. With a new heart and a brand new start, I'm so proud I'm busting my vest. So I'm the guy who turned down a lover. Yes, I'm the guy who laughed at those blue diamond rings. One of those things, oh, look at me now. We'll be right back.
great small band and also a great big band. So he's a wonderful singer. He can, well, you can hear he's bluesy and also can do standards and has a really great musicians playing with him. I've been hiring the orchestras for the Swing Dance Society since we started in 85. That's, 23 years plus.
Wow.
I started when I was 2.
Absolutely.
And Ron is one of the bands I hire all the time, and he's just a pleasure to dance to, and you can dance different styles to his music. Like that, you could do a foxtrot to, you could do a swing. It's just he's one of our best bands, so that's why I brought that to
Yeah,
play.
And it's so much fun when he does appear, just as other bands. Name some of the other bands you've had. Maybe people know about them.
Well, Vince Giordano is popular because we've had him since we started at the Cat Club, and now there's a resurgence in Charleston and old early music of the 20s. And so Vince Giordano is has been playing for us a lot lately as well, and his style is more of like a 20s style. Because
mm-hmm.
the Lindy came from the Charleston and the two-step, which are fun dances as well. Other bands, Gerard Corelli's band plays for us. He does a nice Bobby Darin type style,
mm-hmm.
very smooth. Then
do we have the Harlem band? I think there's a band.
Harlem Renaissance Orchestra.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
They're really good. In fact, I just taught at Lincoln Center when their band played in the tribute to Illinois Jacquet. Illinois Jacquet, another one who used to play for us. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. But he played for us at our anniversary and was just incredible.
So many of these veterans lasted well into their 80s.
There's another really good musician, sax player, Houston Person, will be playing for us in December. Really amazing.
Yeah. So we're down at a once a month, and we're at a church on the east side. This should be still going on every other week, but we're happy.
Yeah, we used to be every week, actually.
Wow.
When we were at Irving. Well, we were at the Cat Club every week after the first start, and then we were at Irving Plaza every
that's
week.
That's right, yeah.
But then when we lost Irving Plaza to the big rock music bands, we had to move, and we're once a month.
Yeah, but it's a big crowd, and I strongly recommend you come down. You'll find all this out on Margaret's website as we get on with the program. We'll repeat all the information, because dancing truly is, as the New York Times, Science Times reported probably 8 months ago, it is the one movement experience that combines emotion, physical exercise, and community, all of the main ingredients they're finding now that go into a quality life with longevity, that you can live longer doing it. And it's used in all arenas, from nursing homes to elementary schools. And I think the ballroom movement in general has just been proliferating out of hand. I just love that New York, despite its very harsh laws regarding dancing in bars, restaurants, etc., the special license required, we are finding our way continuously right on from the 80s on up. There's a great dive called the Iguana down on 54th Street Sunday night. Real down and dirty rock and roll blues. It's so much fun. You just need to Google in and get all that info. And dance, Margaret, for you is such a major part of your life, and you've truly dedicated yourself. Again, voluntarily, you're getting the band together. You're, arranging volunteers to collect the money at the door, which is always reasonable. Gives breaks for young, old students, etc. How do you manage all that? I mean, how do you support yourself? How do you get through all this?
Well, I support myself by teaching dance. I teach dance, my swing dance classes and my ballroom dance classes. I also teach exercise, a stretch class at Rockefeller University. I also teach seniors, retirees, dance and exercise. And I've been doing that for many years as well. In my own classes, I do all different styles of ballroom and Latin, and then different levels of swing, of Lindy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I support myself. It's a struggle, of course.
It is.
Teaching dance is not an easy life to make a living at. And the Swing Dance Society, yes, I've done as a labor of love for free, you know, all these years. But it's rewarding when someone comes up at the end of the night in their mail and says, oh, it's, you know, we really appreciate what you've done and what you're doing.
Yes.
It really makes it worthwhile, especially after, like, everybody else, you know, giving their suggestions.
Yes. Well, New York is the city of critics. And if you're not open to getting really confronted left and right, this music's too slow, he's too fast, he's out of touch with this group.
Because everyone has their own music that they like exactly.
Yes. But you're a part psychologist in all of this, aren't you?
The bands that we get are really excellent, top-level bands.
You sure do.
Yeah.
Not without a doubt. And, of course, the band, too, needs to look around and see what pieces people are dancing to or aren't and have some flexibility, and I think many of them do. But if they don't, they're going to hear about it because dancers, sober, determined people that we are, we want it our way. And poor Margaret, but luckily you have this charming, marvelous, flexible personality that, you know, I think that's why it's lasted. A lot of people would just say, you know, leave me alone. You know, I put a lot of work into this. Don't tell me what to do. So you're doing it. And I personally have benefited so very much from this and all of my friends. And now this community of so many people who don't even know names, but we don't care. We have to see our faces at all of these major events. And it's a humongous movement in New York. Humongous. And that's not easy to have a successful movement in New York. Cynics just move on, et cetera. So we're really pleased about it. Let's hear some more music. And you're going to tell us a little about
this. Is this the country?
That's the country piece. Let's hear that because we need to talk about country. Just so I'll be the last. I don't care who you knew before me, but I'm going to last with you. That's such a typical country sound. Who is it? What are we listening to?
That's Webb Pierce and Willie Nelson. They did a duet album. It's just wonderful. I started with country western dancing at City Limits. That was a club on West 10th Street and 7th Avenue South. And
why were they playing country in New York?
That was during, what's the name of that movie? Urban Cowboy?
Urban Cowboy, yeah, era. I remember that.
And I was walking on my way back and forth to NYU, and I would see the club had big picture windows, so you could see people dancing inside. And actually, I saw them dancing swing, because you also can do swing and Lindy to country, to the faster ones.
I see.
And that's when I fell in love with partner dancing again, even though I had done it with my father as a child. And even at Cal Arts, California Institute of the Arts, when I was, you know, a modern dance major, at parties I would, freestyle swing. I knew some, and then I'd get some other dancer that would kind of know it. So we would also have a great time. My ballet teacher said to me, why don't you dance in ballet class like you do when you're dancing at a party?
Yeah.
I started ballet when I was actually 20, so I hadn't danced as a child. In fact, I didn't start swing until I was in my 30s. Mm. That's in that city limits time. Mm-hmm. So don't think it's too late to start dancing, people out there. You can start at any age.
Yes.
And it's great. So the country scene, a lot of people were doing country. I went there 5 nights a week. We didn't go on weekends because that's when the tourists came. Uh-huh. So the hardcore country dancers were there Monday through Friday, Sunday through Thursday. And the bands there were great. The Dixie Doughboys, Blackwater, Johnny Jake. And these bands, the Dixie Doughboys actually just played a reunion at a party I went to last month. And they're still amazing. And the music, I didn't like country music until I started dancing to it. Mm-hmm. And now I just love it.
It became a really big thing in New York. The diamond, what was it called? The blue denim or denim and diamond.
Denim and diamonds. That was even well after that period.
Yes.
Because there were other places before that. Corso had Latin, but they also had country. I taught up there. And then there was a place, was it the Fives? No, it was on 86th Street. It became the Country Club, mm-hmm. where they had dinner dancing and ballroom. But before that, it was country.
Hmm.
And
what distinguishes country dancing, partner dancing, say, from
country western?
Yeah.
Country western, you do a two-step. And a two-step, and you can do triple two-step or single two-step, is like a foxtrot.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I teach two-step as part of my ballroom dance class sometimes. If people are interested in it, I'll do one class on it just to show how once you know one dance, you can actually know a million dances because they're very similar patterns. The two-step is a six-count pattern, the same as in foxtrot and the same as in swing. So you can go from one to the next in the same dance.
And people don't need the numbers. There are words like quick, quick, slow,
slow.
Quick, quick, slow.
Oh, of course, yeah.
As your guide for steps,
right.
Isn't that
right?
The case?
It's a quick, quick, slow, slow.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, four. Five, six. Yeah.
I had to keep saying those words when I first started dancing.
Well,
country.
Especially with that pattern, because a six count doesn't fit the phrase of the music. The eight count pattern, which you also use in swing and in foxtrot, does fit the phrase of the music, but the six count is just you just dance to the beat. So it doesn't fit the phrase. It's like a measure and a half. That's why when you're learning it, you have to keep thinking and concentrate. Then after a while, it becomes easier. It's a little tricky.
It's tricky stuff. And if I'm out of touch with it, whammo. I was up in Maine this summer, and we were dancing, and I had to keep saying the words. There was some pretty learned people up there.
Well, yeah.
You know, happens. It's fun, though. But I think the most important thing for a lot of women who tend to attend ballroom classes and dance classes at a greater number than men do, although that is somewhat equalizing.
Well, actually, a lot of times I'll have more men in my classes
really?
Than women. Yeah, like right now I have 3 classes going and I have more men in 2 of them.
Interesting.
Yeah, it varies.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that you're gorgeous, blonde, and tall and slender and look like a model? No, I'm
who's
not
going to.
No, but it is true that women take more classes generally. They're in the yoga classes. They're in the ballet classes. Men are beginning to move into the ballroom scene. I think their struggle is greater. We don't encourage middle-class white guys to articulate a hand movement, a leg gesture, to learn steps. They really struggle. Put them in the basketball court or on the basketball court or on a tennis court, and it's a struggle that they can relate to. So I really, my hat goes off to the guys who make that effort. And indeed, it's a great effort to make because if you're single or in a couple, you get to meet other very alive people who want to be moving, want to be communicating, and you're spending an hour of lessons dancing with so many different partners because no dance teacher keeps you with the one partner. You'll do one phrase with one with another. And you get a feel for people on the kinesthetic level, which is so rare other than standing across from someone. You engage with it. And we have so many great themes in New York from the tango. I sound like I'm an advertisement, but I'm so thrilled personally having spent my entire life in dance. And Margaret and I discovered we cross over. I'm president, as many of you know, of the Laban Institute of Movement Studies, www.limsonline.org, another nonprofit that's truly devoted to, in this case, studying movement, on a scholarly level, offering master level classes all the way to the body language of a presidential candidate, the analysis of how you say what you say, all authentic to the original dance language, which is called Laba notation, just as music has it. Hmm?
If I could interrupt and say that, Virginia, you are one of the best dancers in the scene, and I go to the dances and I have men who dance with me and they say, oh, that Virginia, she's really good. She's another one. And you say, watch that woman.
Yeah. So, oh, that's so nice
really,
to hear.
Yes.
Well, I just hope
Virginia is a great dancer. Oh. So if you come out to the dances, be sure to take a look.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to pass that on because we're on a Gary Null station, and Gary Null and I have danced for years together, and this man is hot, 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 and we have danced a very long time. He's not directly in the ballroom scene because when you get on the dance floor with Gary Null, you don't know what you're going to be doing. And all you need is a little flexibility and a sense of fun, a little sensuality, and off you go. And we are kind of ideally suited. I think improvisation is my middle name. I love it. So we're sharing with you our love for movement, and I have been so blessed having Margaret Batichuk agree to come in to talk about it because she indeed is the leader of the movement here in New York. And it started with passing a window of a place, watching people dance and saying, maybe I won't be a doctor after all. Maybe I'm going to have some fun all around. Not that doctors don't have fun, but it's a little more serious profession. But, you know, play is one of the most serious encounters you can have with another human being, because if you look at play scientifically, your immunity is higher than any medication or vitamin or supplement will ever provide for you. It's the act of engaging the whole being. So let's hear some more music. Margaret brought us some music, and she'll tell us about it. These are all the sounds that you can interpret, you can express your movements to, and really organize psychologically, spiritually, all at the same time. Don't want to get too serious, but let's hear the next tune.
I know I shouldn't think that it could happen to you and I, because I love you so. But if you should ever find that you don't love me, darling, let me be the first to know. If you should ever change your mind about me, be the one to come and tell me so.
Yeah, darling, let me be the first to know. If you're going to jilt me, if you're going to say bye-bye, please tell me first. These country songs are so filled with pathos, and people discussing the most heart-wrenching, usually the affair of this or the other. There's a sad piece to country music, and I love it because it offers us a voice for that side of things. Who are we just listening to, Margaret?
I think that was also Webb Pierce and Willie Nelson.
Aha. Uh-huh. And that's a song, what, you do a two-step to?
Yeah, two-step.
Mm-hmm.
Two-step.
And if you ever see in a country western bar, I have family in Texas, you can watch huge amounts of people just circling the floor like they did in the Foxtrot in the old days, only they're doing the two-step, and they've added lots of steps, right?
You can do a triple two-step as well. It's like in Latin dancing when you do salsa. Salsa is quick, quick, slow, quick, quick, slow. And you can do it to fast music. But if the music is really slow, like a cha-cha, then you're going to make it into a triple. So you do quick step, step, triple step, 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 cha-cha-cha. So it's the same thing in the two-step. You have quick, quick, slow, slow. Or you can do quick, quick, triple step, triple step. So you fill it out with triples instead of just a single step, which is you know, it's a way to vary the step, and it gives you a whole nother dance that way.
Mm-hmm. And
so
I
that's
love
what's fun. The variations, you can kind of like start with a basic rhythm pattern, a basic theme, and then you make steps and rhythms that play around with that pattern and different moves that come from that. It's really a lot of fun and very creative.
It can be. You know, you watch some of these. I see a lot of guys in their jeans and their boots and their 10 gallons. But the beauty of sort of the turning in the process and the different experimenting that they do to bring that interest to the dance. But I think you're really telling us that in any of these dances, you have the freedom improvise, to play
cha-cha,
things out.
Right.
Exactly.
Salsa.
So we can learn, again, a lot of this personally from you or in any of the ballroom studios. We've had all the heads of all the ballroom studios here in New York on this program describing some of the trends, what people are interested in, and their own biographies. But here we have someone that's personally quite meaningful to me because I adore swing. What a way to move it and groove. Margaret, where do people get to you? How do they get to you again?
Well, my website is dancemb.com, and it stands for Margaret Batichuk, dancemb.com. And if you can't remember Margaret Batichuk, you can think Dance Movement Ballroom for the MB. So
and
it's
they
Dance
can get
MB.
It all there, right?
Yes, you mm-hmm. can get it all there. If you don't have a computer, my phone number is 212-598-0154.
We're going to hear some more music. We're going to come back to Margaret, but I'm just loving the sounds, and I hope you are using this opportunity wherever you are at your computers listening to this program, whether you're in Beijing, New York City, or Staten Island.
And you know, this next song is going to be something that they do swing line dances to. Which, you know, I also have teaching videos and DVDs. If you look on my website, and I have the line dances and also my master's thesis videos, but I have teaching tapes in swing as well.
So now we're going to listen to a swing line dance.
Well, the music that we
the
do.
Music.
The
music, yeah. You're getting moved because I can stand on the sidelines and watch probably 200 people dancing in lines, one line behind the next, to this music pitched real loud. What is this about, Margaret?
This is what we do the shim sham to, the shim sham shimmy. It's an old swing line dance that has been brought to the forefront by the New York Swing Dance Society. We started every dance, we would do the shim sham all in a line together. At one point during the evening, and we still continue that tradition. And now swing dance societies and groups and competitions all over the world do the same thing at their events. And the shim sham started out to be like a dance that if in vaudeville or show people were doing a dance, they could all come together at the end and do a dance they all knew. So that would be like their finale or their extra. If they had an encore, they'd all get up and do the shim sham together. And the shim sham is a tap dance as well. So if you do it with a shuffle, you can do it as in the tap dance style. Most tap dancers know it. If you do it in the swing style, you just do it with a stomp instead of a shuffle step. And it's a really great dance. And everyone gets involved. We line up. The band plays Stomping at the Savoy, which is this song. You could do it to other songs as well. Like when I was doing, I was in a TV special with Wynton Marsalis about Duke Ellington, and we did it to the A-Train. You could also do it to A-Train or any other basic swing songs. But in any event, everyone gets up, and you can follow along. But it's a little tricky So actually, it's very tricky. Very tricky. So actually, I teach classes in it. I have a workshop next week in October on the Shim Sham, and I also have the DVDs on the Shim Sham and Jitterbug Stroll that you might need a little instruction to get it. But if you're a dancer, like a professional dancer type, you could pick it up the way I did. But unless you're used to like really dance training, it's a little tricky to pick up the steps.
I think if you play soccer, you'd be pretty good. So much footwork and legwork, you're really used to the space around the lower body. But I think the bottom line is the courage to get up in front of people with a whole group of people and goof and fail and come back in. Because indeed, it's a very supportive atmosphere. And
yes,
it's truly about fun. There's no reason to know everything about it, but it's a real fun dance. We're going to hear the next cut on this, and you're going to tell us a little about what this one is about. And again, enjoy it at home. Let yourself, or if you're in the office, feel the music everywhere. Move in the chair. Yeah, now that was a great piece to dance to, because that's a little faster swing impression. We're going to hear the next cut, and you're going to hear again what comes out here. It's again, a woman's perspective. Listen in, let yourself boogie. Okay, let the shoulders go. Arms go. Let the hips go. Feel it, ladies and gentlemen.
Crossover. Tack Annie.
Margaret's calling Tack it, Annie. Ladies and gentlemen.
The break, step tap. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Good.
Then we do the tap step where you shuffle. And then you go back to the shim sham.
So we were getting some personal instruction there. I think a large part of teaching dance are the words you use. And often, instead of giving just numbers to people, which has been the traditional approach, there are images like push, pull. Annie, tell us some more of those images. I think they're very illustrative of the movement pattern, too.
Well, when you do your push, you push your hips over your foot. So you push, push, and then you cross over by crossing the leg over the other one. That's the second step in the shim sham.
Gotcha. Now, don't get discouraged, guys. When we start calling steps, I always see the guys start to blanch. Uh-oh, I'm going to screw up, and a real man never screws up. But indeed, when the teaching is supportive and it's about fun and it's Margaret doing it, I think you have a better chance at trying at least 15 times to get it right.
Also, you start at the very beginning. Like, you start just stepping on the beat of the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you step on the beat. Then you double time the step, so you go quick, quick, quick. And then you start with the patterns and then different things that you can do. It's not just all thrown at you the way that call was. That would be like after you've learned it.
Yes, exactly. It's reminding me that when I first take driving lessons, I was so terrified, and I was already well into my 30s, and I asked the company to give me a driving teacher that's really experienced with phobics, because it was so panicky, an undertaking for me. And I remember the first time he said, "We're not going to drive this car today. You're going to put your hand on the key. You're going to turn that key. You're going to hear the motor." I almost fell out of the car laughing hysterically. This man so guessed who I was and what I needed. And indeed, I was smart to get a veteran teacher. We literally did not start driving till the second lesson, because I couldn't even start the first step, which is embrace that key, turn it. I'd been in too many car accidents as an adolescent, playing all kinds of crazy games in cars, which I definitely disavow and prohibit at this time for anybody. But nevertheless, we're talking to Margaret. We're talking about swing classes, swing dancing. We're also talking about other forms of dance. We're talking about Latin. We're talking about the more classical ballroom approaches like foxtrot, waltz. My dad was also a great dancer. We have a lot in common here, Margaret. He wasn't a doctor. He was a businessman. I'm currently using movement in business environments. So we find our way to combine stuff. But he used to do things like the Peabody, which I don't often see on the dance floor.
Oh, I love the Peabody.
Why isn't that taught more? I don't see it around, or at least performed more.
Yes, it's a beautiful dance. It's a walking dance. Yeah. It's just walking, but it's a little intricate where you have to, you know, cross behind and step around your partner. That's what it's like, weaving across the dance floor. It's beautiful.
It is a beautiful dance.
And it's an early dance. It comes with the early music. Mm. So as early music becomes more popular, more people are then also starting to do Peabody again.
Yes.
A lot of the trends in music change over the years. I know I've seen at the Swing Dance Society there, we've gone from traditional early music to a little later music, like the 40s, and then to music that was jump swing in the 50s, and then people started getting into blues, and now back to early music. So there are cycles and different dance ways of dancing, like were popular, and then they come on, and then you see the blends of more of a West Coast, they call it Hollywood style, coming back in.
Hmm.
And it's really nice because I love all dancing. I also was in a clogging group when I started
out. I love clogging.
And it's like tap dancing. It's rhythmic. It's really fun.
It comes out of what? The Irish dance?
The Appalachian.
Appalachian.
Yes, it's like a mix of black tap dancing, but it's more basic, like, what do they call it? Called Irish step dancing.
Yeah, that's where the upper body stays really still, the lower body moves,
right.
And it's about being judged for the
footing.
Knee to the foot. That's the area you're looking
and
at.
And flat footing is more of a relaxed way to do it, which is also really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of fun, too.
And I see people now
getting polka,
the waltz, rumba is coming back.
Yes, rumba.
Somebody said the rumba is the basic dance.
That is
the bottom line dance.
Quick, quick, slow. And so many dances have that same beat.
Quick, quick, slow.
I would say, actually, the two-step, side together, side. That's the basic.
Mm-hmm.
So simple. Rumba, you have a box pattern or a diamond pattern. That makes it even harder. Just the simple step together step.
Mm-hmm.
That I would think would be the total basic dance. That the rumba and the salsa and the foxtrot box step, they all come from. And Charleston, then Lindy, they all use that.
What's interesting is the quick, quick, slow, but there's probably 100 billion ways to go quick, quick, slow. You can watch a stick go quick, quick, slow. You can watch somebody who's feeling the music.
Nightclub two-step that glides through the quick,
glides
slow.
Through the quick, quick, slow. And you, as a teacher,
it's like small and delicate and hoppy or fast.
Yeah, and again, the stepping, the pattern is all there. It's how you execute, and that's got lots of elements to it. Not only was dance all right in your family, what's the shame factor about getting up and moving? Some people need the structure and have to count it and have to say the words.
Mm.
And maybe 5 years later, the hips will begin to sway a bit. They'll find a little bit of breath support for shoulder and arm movement. And on the whole, I think somewhere we all kind of use each other. We watch some other dancer, might not even be the teacher, who we really like on the dance floor. And we just can use, through modeling, through just the image of that person, and sort of see yourself moving like them. There are great athletes who image, say, the serve of Jimmy Connors or McEnroe. And sure enough, they begin to follow the same path.
And this, too, you're dancing with somebody. So it's not only watching, but you can feel them if you're dancing with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it translates through the feeling. And I know, like, with, I guess, our parents' generation, dancing was more a part of their lives. It wasn't like a special thing.
Yes.
And it just is in me from dancing with my father and dancing with these great dance partners. And then to get somebody want to translate that and to share that with other people is what excites me, why I've gone into this, is because I love it so much, and I can give people that joy by introducing them to it.
Yes.
and getting them to feel it and to be more natural with it. even if it starts from just doing body movements and then simple steps. But then when it's such a delight for someone to experience it and to feel it.
Like, and that's your reward as a teacher. But you know, Margaret, you're leaving out a big part of the lesson, which is you. In other words, you can say, everybody stand in a line. Now we're going to go side, step, side. And you've lost your class. They probably won't come back. So how you're stepping, and as a metaphor, your rhythms of word and motion, how over years of teaching, you're going to probably want to teach the guys that you don't have to treat the woman like a bat or a ball or whatever they're used to playing with. And you, how do you support your partner? Just as women can tend to drag the guy down by this huge weighted arm on their shoulder, gripping their hand and sweating all at the same time. So all of these details have to be taken into account.
Yeah.
And it's your personality. But, you know, personality is about movement. No one's personality is the same as anyone else. And you can watch these variations in movement. You can learn more about it even at the Laban Institute. So if you want to get sort of the theory behind it, the language behind dance, and experience it, we have that kind of an organization. We have all the ballroom studios in New York. We have actually the personal trainers themselves. We're finding that if they use music with individuals, they can get evoke better, simple lifting a weight to strengthen the bicep. It's that interaction of music, dance, and with another. We're going to listen to one more quick piece here, and we're just going to randomly pick it, and I want you to take your deep breaths, let your arms and legs go, let your head sway, and we'll come back and hear how you can find more of this in New York City. Yeah, we're listening again to that old Savoy. It's played a lot. People move to it. It's a wonderful sound. It's one of the many you'll hear as you, hopefully, get out there and do some ballroom. Again, we've had Margaret Batichuk, truly a woman that needs continual honoring and gratitude from everyone in New York City, but she's keeping alive a tradition and encouraging all the changes that the younger people bring to it and all the improv that all of us bring to the scene. And it's a form of dance that truly crosses all ages, races, every attitude, every IQ. And in that sense, it's so New York, a true synthesis and amalgam and interweaving of people from everywhere. So if you want, again, welcome to fall, welcome to winter, welcome to summer, wherever you are. There are classes beginning. Periodically, there are cycles of classes. You'll get all of that information from Margaret's particular website. Anything else you want to add? Of course, we have the DVDs, we have the dance lessons that you can just plug them into your own machine and watch. And they're all taught by Margaret. The best way to get her is through her website. She also has classes that are private. And get out there and move, ladies and gentlemen. I can't give that message strong enough. Margaret, what do you say, just generally, about dance and movement? Why has it been so important, and what can you tell the audience about it?
It's a freeing of your body. It brings your spirit out. That's why I love it. It's a spiritual experience and a physical one.
And, you know, I always love that the Greek root to spiritual is spiritus. It's also got a Latin similar sort of sound, and it means breath. And indeed, the breath is the rhythm of our body. And imagine allowing your own breath to play out so many different rhythms, supporting you in so many different movement attitudes with so many different people. You know, it's free all around New York if you just want to go tango. We have dancing in the park just every other weekend. You can find a big dance scene in the park.
And, you know, I just saw a quote on a website that said, if you don't do your own dance, who will?
Yeah. If you don't do your own dance, who will? So, ladies, Len and gentlemen, kids of all ages.
It was Gabrielle Roth.
Gabrielle, oh, yeah. Yeah, she comes out with some good stuff. And this has been A Woman's Perspective with Virginia Reed. We're on every Friday live, but you can archive into this program. You can excerpt it. You can do whatever you want, really. And the way to do that is to dial into prncomm.net. If there's anything you want to tell us, we're at 888-873-4643. So we're going to hopefully gather everyone for next Friday's program. And this is, again, Virginia Reed and Margaret Batichuk. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Virginia.